Well, we continue on our journey through Acts, through the book of Acts, and this section, these chapters 13 and 14 that we read parts of, are really important. This is an important turning point in the book. If you look in the study Bibles in your pew, you'll see that this section in chapter 13 begins titled Saul and Barnabas. But then if you were listening at a certain point by the end, we're talking about Paul. And this is where that transition from Saul to Paul comes. Now, contrary to popular assumption, Paul's name was not changed to Paul from Saul upon his conversion, as some think. It's actually what Nathan pointed out in his story, that the name Paul is his Roman name, whereas Saul is his Hebrew name. And he's mostly referred to as Saul before this because he's mostly speaking to his people. He's mostly working within the church in and around Jerusalem. But at the beginning of this text in chapter 13, we understand that Barnabas and Saul are being sent out of that area into a new culture. Now, already there are things in this text that suggest the church is very multicultural, just like Pastor Richard kind of alluded to in his welcoming statement. There's been a lot of crossing into different cultures, even within that geographical area. And in chapter 13, where we read that intro, we asked poor Cynthia, who did a great job, to read all of these hard names. But the hard names tell us something. They tell us that the church was already inviting a diverse group of people, different areas and different ethnicities are implied in this list of names. And so that's already happening. And in fact, not only are these people in the church, they are listed as leaders. And among them is this man Saul, and he and Barnabas are sent out. But it's actually at the beginning of this, it is Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas is listed first. So Barnabas is probably the senior member, might be by age, but probably it is more that he has been in this group longer. Paul wasn't the first to join this group of believers in Jesus. He came a little bit later. But after chapter 14, after these encounters, we ever after hear Paul listed first among list of people. So it starts out as Barnabas and Saul and ends as Paul and Barnabas. It seems like a subtle change, but it marks a shift in the book of Acts. Now, many of you know that before I was a pastor, I was a social worker, and that I also at times taught social work classes. Now, social work has a code of ethics, and part of that code of ethics is understanding certain ethical principles that we would teach in our classes. Principles like no matter where you are from or who you are, each person is intrinsically created with dignity and worth. Principles like we are all shaped by our contexts and experience, that whenever we are working with someone, we are working with the person within their environment, because their environment is part of how they have become the person they have become. And so part of what I taught was cross-cultural sensitivity. And as I read this story, I thought to myself, my goodness, we should routinely and often teach this in churches as well. Wouldn't the church as a whole throughout history be so much better off if we did? And there's plenty of ethical groundwork in our scriptures to affirm these exact principles. And yet, too often, we skip that. And so we find ourselves often coming in conflict with culture, And bringing our own culture into situations as though it is our religion, without even always being able to figure out the difference. But this story of Barnabas and Paul is an interesting story because in it we find them entering into a whole new culture, very different from their own. And when they do, some pretty hilarious things actually happen. One of the problems with treating our scripture as so sacred and holy, which it is, but we sometimes think that something so sacred and holy couldn't also be hilarious. And so we miss things. Like, for instance, some of Jesus' parables are less buoyant to us because we refuse to acknowledge how silly and ridiculous the stories can be. Or even the story that Pastor Richard preached about last Sunday. He pointed out some pretty silly things about that. And I think we'd be, you know, do well to sometimes sort of recognize the humor in it. You know, when you're watching a comedy, you have background music that kind of helps you know, oh, this is the funny part. And maybe sometimes we need a little bit of background music in our scriptures, you know, because you get a clue. You get a clue. Like using that old standard, yakety sax. And it tells you this is the part that you can laugh at. There's funny stuff here. But of course, the story with Paul and Barnabas doesn't actually start out funny. It starts out with a healing. And we've seen a lot of healings throughout Scripture. Healing is often the gift of God. And we see it in the Old Testament. We definitely see it as a primary factor in Jesus' work. And we see it a lot in the book of Acts also as people try and bring Jesus into different other people. Healing is a gift of God. And that's what we see here. So Paul and Barnabas, they go into this culture and the first thing that happens is that Paul looks intently at this man, we're told. Now, how often do we miss the chance to bring a slice of the kingdom to someone because we haven't stopped to really look at them as an individual? As a person, it's you know, it's brought out in the text. So he stops and he looks intently at this man, and in so doing, he recognizes that healing is going to be possible here, and so he's able to offer healing. The man stands up, and everybody's really happy, and that's where the silly part begins. Cue music. And that. There we go. So we were in Lystra, Barnabas and I. And we heal this guy, and everybody's really happy about it. And so we're all like, you know, keep talking, and it seems like it's going really well. And then they start talking in this language that we didn't understand. Now, at Pentecost, we could understand everybody's language, but here, I don't know what they're saying. It sounds like gibberish. And they're talking real fast, and they seem happy, so I just keep talking, because I'm Paul. That's what I do. And so I'm talking, and they're getting all excited, and then some of them leave, and I don't know what they're saying, and I don't know why they leave, but I just keep talking because I'm Paul. So then we're going on, and then they're getting really excited because we healed this guy, and then some of them come back, and they're like carrying wreaths, and they're starting to call Barnabas Zeus and me Hermes. I don't know why he got to be Zeus, but anyway, it's not the point. So they're calling us Hermes and Zeus, and we realize, oh my goodness, they think we're gods. They think we're Greek gods, and we don't know what to do. And I'm thinking, Barnabas, this is a fine situation we've gotten ourselves into. And so we don't know what to do, and then we just kind of start backing up, and they're coming forward with flowers, and we're like backing up and go, no, we've got to get their attention. And so we go forward, and we start like tearing our clothes to like show them that we're kind of horrified by this. And it was everything we could do to keep them from sacrificing to us and point them toward God. Not us, we're just ordinary people, but it was the craziest thing you've ever seen. is how we should read this section of Acts, I think. And maybe a lot of other sections. And the point here is not to suggest that we have to be laughing like it's a farce on TV. It's to realize that Paul is not gifted because he's got like some tremendous thing that we don't. He is just an ordinary guy. And so is Barnabas. They're just ordinary people. They bumble a lot. They make mistakes. Paul makes lots of mistakes. The Bible names them, which is actually better than the church often does when we make mistakes. And they're just a couple of bumbling guys following their call. Sometimes getting it right, sometimes getting it wrong. But in it, someone was healed. God was at work, even in the craziness of the whole story. Something that they probably laughed at later. And this church forms in Lystra as a result of all of this. A church that becomes a church that worships God. The kingdom does show up there. Now, this is Pride Month, as has been mentioned, and it's also a month where we celebrate Juneteenth. Some of us participated in Lombard Pride celebration last week. Others will participate in other Pride celebrations throughout the month. Some of us will participate in the Lombard Juneteenth celebration next weekend or in Juneteenth celebrations around. But in doing these, we also should recognize that we too may be entering into a cross-cultural kind of space, a space where we don't always understand everything about the language or the expectations. These might be spaces in which we have to like contend with the fact that some of us are not the people in charge with all the know. We might make mistakes and bumble and get it wrong, even when we try and bring cultural sensitivity with us. Sometimes that fear of giving up the privilege of knowing what's going on, being comfortable, keeps us from entering into other spaces. And what Paul and Barnabas did in answering the call was answering the call to allow themselves to be in uncomfortable spaces sometimes. And sometimes the encounters for that were pretty funny, and sometimes they were not. Sometimes they turned ugly, and sometimes there was persecution that followed. But in it all, this is how the kingdom moved forward. Now, many of us in this congregation have worked overseas and would love to tell you their own funny stories of missional mishaps. But you don't have to cross an ocean to end up in another culture. You don't even have to go to one of the celebrations I named this month. Sometimes just saying you're a Mennonite can put you in that space. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt, even maybe among other Christians, like you're crossing into another culture? And I'm not talking here even about stereotypes about Mennonites so much as different values like individualism, materialism, redemptive violence. Sometimes it feels like there's a gulf of potential misunderstanding, a sense in which we're a little outside of the loop ourselves. And yet, I believe that's exactly where we're called to be from time to time. Some of us, at least, will be called to talk about things that feel like they're crossing a cultural divide. And so today, like the church in Acts, we are invited to think about what we're being called to do here. Now, sometimes when we talk about the book of Acts, We talk about it as a book about the journeys of Paul, or the ministry of Paul and Peter, perhaps, or even the expansion of the early church. But really, none of those are what the book is about. Remember how they tried to make Paul and Barnabas gods. Sometimes Christians can try and do the same with our biblical heroes. This is not a book about Paul or Peter or even the early church. This is a book about the work of God in the world today. And just as Paul tries to turn our attention back to God and not center himself, we need to remember that's always the center of any story that we try and participate in. God is at work in the world, and we need to remember that Paul's words that he's shouting out as they're trying to crown him as a Greek god. And he says, in the past, he permitted every nation to go their own way. Nevertheless, he hasn't left himself without a witness. He has blessed you by giving you rain from above as well as seasonal harvests and satisfying you with every good food and happiness, every good thing. Food and happiness. In other words, God was with you even before you recognized him as God, bringing good to you, taking care of you, protecting you. And God will continue to be with you. This is the message that longs to be proclaimed. It is a message that begs for our efforts in the world. Paul taught about God's work through Jesus, the manifestation there and the sacrifice of the cross, that deadly, horrible instrument of empires, that Jesus reclaimed and redeemed as something new. A cross that teaches us that we needn't break into factions. We needn't turn ourselves into us and them. We can cross into one another's cultures. We can become reconciled to God, just as God longs to reconcile all things. Something new is happening here. We needn't war anymore because we can recognize each other all as children of the same God, siblings in God. This is a message that Paul did not invent. It is a message that had been taught through the Hebrew prophets of generations, a time when we would recognize one another and the whole world would be blessed. So, like that church in Acts, I want to commission you all as leaders of the church, able to cross into uncomfortable spaces with sensitivity, always valuing those with whom you are interacting, treating them with dignity, and knowing God's good work has begun before you ever arrived.